Well, with us this morning is the New Zealand Dental Association CEO, Dr. Mo Amzo. Now, Mo, if I've mispronounced your name, I do apologise. Welcome.
Kia ora, thanks for having me. Great pronunciation.
Oh, there you go. Look, mate, we love you already. Now, I've got to ask you, we've got an important question of the day, completely unrelated to what we're going to be talking about. So, this is not a gotcha moment, but if you had the option between puha and pork bones or a hangi, which one would you take?
Hangi all day.
Oh, there you go. Brother, that's two for hangi, one for puha and pork bones. I'm the only one on the puha. Mate, what is going on in dental care? Why is it so unaffordable in New Zealand?
Well, it's a predominantly privately funded healthcare service. It's not government funded. It is funded for children and adolescents, so it is free for basic dentistry up until your 18th birthday. But once you turn 18, you're more or less on your own, unless you fulfill very limited criteria. You're covered by ACC if you have an injury. If you are on a low income, you may be covered by work and income. Or if you're really unwell and you qualify for certain strict criteria and you're medically unwell, you may be able to see in hospital. Hospital department.
I'm glad you raised that point, because the stories that I'm getting back are that a lot of people are clogging up the emergency rooms. I mean, this is not the only reason, obviously, people go to emergency, but they go to the emergency rooms at hospitals only to wait a long time to see a doctor and then to be turned away, because actually emergency rooms are not dentists, right?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And it's an embarrassment for us as a country, because dentistry, much like going to your GP, is considered primary care, primary health care, and you should be able to access it in the community in a timely fashion when you need it. Emergency hospitals, emergency departments in hospitals really are there for emergency issues, complex medical issues, and complex trauma. So it's not designed to treat toothache and face swelling, etc.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, is it a case that we're not training enough dentists in New Zealand? So we're not investing in universal dental care. That's one issue. But on the other side of the issue is we're not training enough people to work within the system that we might want to create.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we have had the same number of trained dentists graduating in New Zealand since 1984. I was born that year, and I can tell you it was over 40 years ago.
I'm 10 years earlier than you at 74. We're due for retirement any day now, brother.
So one of our challenges as a country has been not investing in training our own. We've been heavily reliant on overseas qualified dentists, wonderful as they may be, but actually the supply of them coming into the country is not steady. We have no control over how many come through the country. And up until right before COVID, we were reliant on 50% of our demand every year coming from overseas.
That's quite a high number.
We closed our borders, it is absolutely. So we're not qualifying enough.
Yeah.
So we as an association have called on the government to raise that training positions that are funded and raise the cap from 60 students a year to 90.
So because I guess that 60 at the moment and raising that to 90 doesn't necessarily take into account attrition, where we're losing dentists, because dentists are a highly competitive skill. And I guess at the front end, we're competing with other countries for those overseas trained dentists to come in here. We're competing with the UK, we're competing with Canada and Australia, I guess, I don't know. But alternatively, yes, we're also competing with ourselves, because we're not dealing with those who are retiring out from the system, kind of like GPs.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, absolutely. We do have a problem of people in the profession leaving the profession and retiring. We did have a fair bit during COVID. Currently, one of the biggest trends we're seeing is people moving across the ditch to Australia, a very lucrative market, and it's not unique to dentistry. It's right across all health professions. It's in the news every day. So we do have that challenge. But On top of not training enough, we have had chronic shortages in the sector, whether be it in the cities or in the regions. And data released earlier this year by the association showed that it takes on average about 24 weeks to fill in a vacancy, sometimes
Wow.
up to 40 in some of the regions. And so what we're talking about are some chronic, long-standing shortages. And that's not serving anyone in those regions, because if it's taking that long to fill a vacancy, it's got flow-on effect, impacting access.
Can I
Yeah.
ask, is that kind of relatively the same in terms of workforce? Because you've got dentists, but then you've also got dental nurses. Is it the same in
Correct.
terms of dental nurses? Because I mean, I remember as a kid, you'd go to school and then you'd go and see the dental nurse, but that doesn't necessarily happen anymore.
Well, no, look, we no longer call them dental nurses. We call them, they evolved to become dental therapists and had another iteration, and now they're called oral health therapists.
I see.
They've got a
I'm just
reasonably
old. I'm just old,
extensive.
bro. I'm just old.
And they've got quite an extensive scope, and they work both across the public and private sector. We're not training enough of them either. They play quite a crucial role in the provision of dental care, both to children and adults. And they graduate out of two universities in New Zealand. But again, we're just not churning through enough. We're not graduating enough of them. And there are vacancies right across the public health sector. So for the publicly funded dental care for the children, there are vacancies well across the country. In fact, some services across the country that look after children
So if I can,
are facing.
I want to come to the affordability question because for Māori and Pacifica people as well, that's a big thing. We've got all these stories that are emerging online. I mean, don't get me started about the influencers on TikTok, but we've got them online and all of a sudden they're promoting these dental places in places like Turkey and Vietnam and Thailand and Tonga and Tamiya, wherever they might be. Is it a case that they're doing that because of the affordability question, but then affordability is based on the fact that we just don't have the supply of dentists here in New Zealand to make it more affordable, if that makes sense?
Well, not quite, because dentistry is privately funded
Yeah.
for adults. There is no government subsidy, unlike primary care. Your GPs, for example, they receive quite significant government funding to make GP clinics affordable. And even then, there's been a recent uproar about the increase in costs. And so even with government funding, you've got affordability issues. So no, we need to train more dentists to be able to provide enough people to do the work. We currently don't have enough. We need more funding to make the care more accessible. So there are two separate problems, and it is a bit of a wicked problem. There is no one clear silver bullet. We need to train more dentists and oral health therapists, so we can actually fill all of our vacancies and expand the care. But we also need to fund it, because a lot of whānau are struggling because of the cost of living crisis. And this is not new. It's been long-standing for a number of years. Ministry of Health data shows us that over the last decade, at least, if not longer, affordability has played a significant factor in people not going to the dentist. And the number for the wider population is anywhere around half, up to half of the population, more so for Māori.
Yeah, well, I was watching the story the other day, and it might have been, I think it was on One Network News, where the person was claiming that it was going to cost $9,000 to go and get her treatment overseas, and which she did, but $90,000 in New Zealand. But then I guess the juxtaposition of that is, well, hang on. I mean, the other story is that is the care and the treatment that you're getting overseas as high grade as it might be here in New Zealand. Therefore, the health system has to deal with infections and all this other sort of stuff. I mean, are they really getting what they need if it's all going to go wrong?
Yeah, look, it's hard to tell. We have no way of auditing these clinics and checking whether they comply with our standards, what the credentials are of the clinicians who are treating you. We are one of the highest regulated sectors in New Zealand, healthcare and dentistry. We are under such strict regulation and compliance requirements. And so what you get in New Zealand is something that's highly regulated. You've got your rights preserved, enshrined in legislation. You've got recourse through accidents through ACC. When you step on a plane and you're in a different jurisdiction, you lose that. And what you've got is, at best, a contract that's not legally enforceable in New Zealand. And if you've got problems, you've got to hop on a plane and fly to wherever you had the care done. So it could be amazing. We're not here bagging care received and done overseas, but it may not. And we at the association, through our members, hear the glowing reports and the horror stories of clinics that, things falling apart, poor hygiene and sterilization. And so, yes, while some fun are maybe getting a good deal, not everyone might, and our members, far, far and few, that share with us stories about the horror that some people have and the complex, expensive problems they end up with once they're back in New Zealand. Whether
So
it's 9,000 versus 90,
90,
look, it's hard to compare. We're not comparing apples for apples. I can't imagine dental care costing 90,000, to be honest, no matter
No, neither can
what
I.
sort of bells and whistles you're getting. So yes, in some cases, if you're going for complex implant and crown and bridge work, yes, you might be getting into the tens of thousands of dollars. And that is, again, highly variable. But I fail to imagine anyone paying that much money
Look,
around the
I forget who
$90,000.
the villain was in the James Bond movies. I think it might have been Scaramanga with the gold teeth or whatever it might be. But I mean, $90,000 sounded like a lot to me. So be cautious of what you
Yes.
see on social media. Hey,
Buyer beware,
buyer
exactly.
beware. That's the one. Hey, look, quick fire round. Should we have universal dental care in Aotearoa?
Universally accessible, yes. Universally free, no. If you want to improve access to those who can't, don't fund the ones who can. It's simple mathematics and logic. Improve access for those who are struggling. Don't make it free for everyone. That's just going to expand the inequities.
No, good point. Hey, Dr. Murray, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Have a
Pleasure.
great weekend, and we'll make sure we put your vote in the ballot box for Puha and Pork Bones versus Hungy.
I'll wait for my invite. Nā mihi, thanks for having me.
Nāmahi.
Ka kite ana.
Hey.